Robin goes, wow, greatest gift ever. Fuck you, Vanessa.
Sires and all you scandal-loving listeners out there, you just tuned into the Non-Judging Breakfast Pod. The coffee is strong, the waffles are fresh, and the gossip is hotter than ever. My name is Leaf, and I'm your seasoned Gossip Girl veteran.
And I'm Steve. I'm the newbie. The greenhorn. I don't know, Leaf, what do you call the new kid on the block in Gossip Girl terms?
Well, I guess they would label you a project, you know, the type of girl that has the potential to be a Blairite.
Well, then dress me up in an Eleanor Waldorf original and let's get started.
Sounds good.
So here's the deal, folks. Leaf has been a fan of Gossip Girl since the beginning, and I'm diving in headfirst for the first time. And together, we're your dynamic duo, dissecting the drama, the romance, and sometimes questionable fashion choices of this iconic 2007 show.
Each week, we're going to be breaking down all the schemes, secret hookups, and couture catastrophes. And trust me, there are a few of them.
And since we are all about inclusivity here at the Non-Judging Breakfast Pod, there is a seat for you at the Non-Judging Breakfast table. Whether you're a veteran like Leaf or a newbie like me, go ahead and grab your mimosa, a cup of coffee, or roll up some of Nate and Chuck's special medicine, and let's get started.
And so I was talking to Jessica, who is the admin over at the XOXO Gossip Girl group on Facebook, and she said she's been listening to the episodes and enjoying it, so shout out to Jessica.
Hey, thank you very much for listening,
and,
Jessica.
And if anyone else wants to, you know, chime in, we love the fan interaction. You know, email us, nonjudgingbreakfastpod@gmail.com. We're on TikTok and Instagram, nonjudgingbreakfastpod, also a Facebook group with the same name. And on Twitter/X at NJBpod. This week, we are going to be talking about Season 1, Episode 11, Roman Holiday.
Yeah.
Steve, did you get the reference?
It is another old movie, if I remember correctly. I don't know it off the top of my head, though.
It is, the name is the same, Roman Holiday.
Yeah.
It's an Audrey Hepburn and Gregory Peck. I did actually go back and watch it about a week or two ago. You know, Audrey Hepburn is the Princess of Monaco, and she escapes her boring life as a princess to go have a holiday in Rome with Gregory Peck.
All right,
like a reporter.
Yeah, and hijinks ensue, I assume.
Yeah, so I guess the corollary is that, you know, obviously Blair is a big Audrey Hepburn fan, so that ties in. But I guess she's kind of like a spoiled princess, you know, trying to get her way no matter what.
Yeah. And also with the play on words for Roman,
yes.
You know, mm-hmm. like yes. You have that as well.
Yes.
That all fits in so well.
The original air date was December 19th, 2007, so right around Christmas time. And the Television Without Pity episode description reads, God. Blair Bear's dad, Harold, brings Roman home for the holidays. Blair immediately determines that he must be destroyed. Of course, Jenny and Vanessa help Serena plan the best Christmas ever for Dan, but don't you ever forget that Vanessa sucks. Dan has his pride of his own in mind for Serena, if you know what I mean. I'm not sure Dan knows what I mean, though. Chuck and Nate run off to Monaco together. Poor Blair thinks it's about her. Vengeance comes for Allison Humphrey and the return of one Alexander Bancroft, the Hudson neighbor fucker. Yes.
This has got to be my favorite my favorite television without video review so far.
It's a very good one.
It is so spot on, because like despite everything that Vanessa does in this episode, it's still like, no, she sucks.
Okay, so the story is by Jessica Queller, who last wrote The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, and I really like The Handmaid's Tale. I feel like you didn't like it as much, right?
I thought we were the opposite. I remember you didn't like it because you thought you kept talking about the male gaze in that episode.
Okay. I was thinking of a different episode, but yeah, you're right.
It was actually directed by Michael Fields. This is his first episode of Gossip Girl. He did do three others in the series. He's been in TV since 85. He's like the biggest control. He's got like four episodes of Law and Order, SVU. He did 9 episodes of Veronica Mars and 14 episodes of iZombie.
Huh. I actually meant to watch that and didn't.
Yeah. I know Adam was always talking about it, but I never watched it either.
No, that's Z Nation. Did he talk about iZombie too?
I thought he did.
Because I know he and I both love Z Nation, but I could never watch the end of it. Like, the last season kept fucking up on Netflix for me.
The episode opens with a Gossip Girl monologue. Hey, Upper East Siders. It's Christmas in New York, and along with the season comes the constant Billard St. Jude's Bazaar, where the only thing bizarre are the donated items for sale.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think my school ever had a bazaar. Act one begins. The Constant Choir is back with a rendition of Santa Baby. Dan and Serena enjoy the bazaar. They are being super cute when Vanessa shows up to give Dan an early Christmas gift. Vanessa got Dan published in The New Yorker. The best gift ever, says Dan to Serena's silent chagrin.
Yeah. The Robin quote of the day comes early because Robin goes, wow, greatest gift ever. Fuck you, Vanessa.
But I mean, I can't really blame her for getting a good gift.
It's amazing. It's an amazing gift, and it's the thing that you get for your best friend, and she did nothing wrong. But it's also like,
that's completely on Dan for saying that right in front of Serena.
Right, and Vanessa probably could have waited to her a better time to give the gift, but then it would be like, fuck you, why are you giving this to him in private? Like, she can't win at this point. Yeah. What also was funny is that
sure she was like, she probably just fat out and was super excited.
Yeah, exactly. She really did nothing wrong, but it's also just like, God damn it, you're right there.
I will call Vanessa out when it's warranted, but you know, I'll give her a pass in this situation.
Yeah, she deserves it, which is why it's. I know I'm wrong, but I feels how I feels.
Rufus and Allison arrive at the bazaar and have an awkward run-in with Lily and Bart.
Yeah, and Allison. So, Lily and Rufus went out on a sham date while you were fucking the other dude. So, like, take it down a notch.
And I thought we already went over this, too.
Yeah. Like, she walked in on them talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, and why is this a problem again, Allison?
Boo.
I'm starting to think maybe that isn't the problem, Allison.
Yeah, we'll find out later in this episode, I think. But first we have Lily and Bart move into a quiet hallway to have a conversation about taking the relationship public.
Yeah. Bart has seems all in now. You know, he really has, you know, he's coming to Lily full on. Hey, that last thing that you thought was a thing wasn't a thing. And she makes the point of, you know, I shouldn't have to worry at all, you know, but you know, Bart really does seem to be taking steps to really impress Lily.
And I'll get into that more at the end of the episode as well. Blair interrupts and asks about Chuck, who is in Monaco. She walks away and texts Chuck.
Yeah. She, you know, her text battle with Chuck this whole time is, you know,
Chuck's presence is very felt, even though very much felt, even though he's not in the episode.
Yeah, you don't have to see, and Nate too, for that matter. Like, or well, more Nate's like Nate's absence is really felt, and Chuck's presence is really felt.
Yes.
And yeah, it was really, really good writing in that sense.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
In fact, I'd say that of the other times that we've not had Chuck, Nate, or Chuck and Nate, this, I feel, addressed it much better.
Mm-hmm. Serena shows up and sweeps Blair away. Blair is scheming to get her father to dump his boyfriend and stay in New York City.
I love that when Serena... When Serena asks her for help, it's just immediately another Cedric dig. Just buy a new outfit for Cedric and move along.
Yes.
Yeah, and also, you know, oh, Blair, honey. Like, it's, you see her scheming in this very beginning of, he's going to stay here forever, and it's like, oh, you like, you're already gearing up for her disappointment. Like, you can't expect that from someone, you know?
Did you, I guess you did catch there was another Cedric episode reference in this episode.
Yeah, she, when she said to buy it, buy an outfit for Cedric,
yeah. All right. And then Serena shows, we just did that, Blair arrives home to find her father, Harold. First time we see Harold in the present day, both Blair and Eleanor both seem disappointed that Ramon is there as well.
Yeah, Eleanor shoots those daggers at Ramon, and it's just like, damn. Yeah. Which, I mean,
we'll get into their relationship later.
Yeah,
we learn about that more.
Yeah, exactly. And no shade, you know. No, obviously Eleanor is going to be feeling some sort of way about this, and it was previously established that he worked for her. And that they did have a relationship on the Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah. So, and then we did not talk about this in episode 9. But did you, now that Harold's here for real, did you recognize the actor John Shea?
He's familiar. I can't place him, though.
The one other thing he's kind of famous for is he was Lex Luthor in the Lois and Clark show in the 90s.
Wow. No, I would not even have recognized him from that.
I mean, he's been in a couple other things, but that's like the only like famous thing he's been in.
Wow, yeah. The Dean Cain, right?
Yes.
That was and
Terry Hatcher,
yeah.
Yes. And then back at the loft, Dan is reading Christmas cards while the family decorates. He accidentally opens and reads a note to Allison from the neighbor guy in Hudson. Lucy, you'll have some explaining to do.
We talk a lot about Taylor Momsen's acting. And there's the old saying that the most important part of acting is reacting. And if you just, I actually went back and rewound and just watched her in the background of this whole, as this whole thing plays out. And just the way that she reacts and takes in the information and absorbs it, it's just so human.
Yeah.
It's just so genuine. You know, it does not feel like she's acting in when she does these things, and it's just, which you're not, it's not supposed to, which is just what makes it so impressive.
She's 14
for this 14 that, which is for this 14 year old, right, has more control than any other actor, any of these seasoned vets, save maybe a couple of them, you know.
So that is the end of the first act. Into act two, we move to Central Park. Blair, Eleanor, Harold, and Ramon are walking to a skating rink.
Yeah.
Interesting scene there.
The when they're walking to the rink, and this is where you know, they're having their two conversations. You know, you have the Blair and her dad, and you're actually seeing this prior relationship that Eleanor and Ramon had unfold. And then, you know, because who doesn't just come up out of nowhere?
Yeah, some random guy uses his niece to flirt with Eleanor, and it looks like Blair has two dads are going, and her two dads are going to the rink.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. And
I had a note and I couldn't read my handwriting. It was that Eleanor, as mad as she is at Ramon, respects his professional opinion and is still very much listening to him on a professional level. You know, I really liked that. It really says a lot about Eleanor's character, how she is someone who has her feelings, but she will always compartmentalize that for business first.
Yeah. And then Vanessa and Dan are talking about her gifts at the cafe when Serena shows up with a Patek Philippe watch, which Dan says is way too expensive, so they get sets of ground rules for gift giving. Vanessa offers to help Serena, but Serena declines.
Is this when Vanessa says the only gift I gave was to lick the stamp? I think she says, I think this is where she says that. And to me, you're pushing it. You're pushing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The verbiage you're using is pushing it. It's all, you have total plausible deniability.
She's got a bit of funke in the mouth. Anyway, so the Television Without Pity forums did the work for me here when I was doing my research for the This Week in Fandom, and they looked up back in 2007, they found this watch, and it retailed for $15,000, which adjusted for inflation in 2024 money would be $22,000. For someone you've been dating for a few months.
Yeah. And now there is a thoughtfulness to this gift, right? It is like you're becoming a professional, you're doing these things, and like, and there is that part of me that it's kind of like, you know, I understand why he declined it. Yeah. Like that made sense, but it's also a matter of like,
to her it's nothing.
She bought you a sandwich.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she took you out for lunch.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not and
or like a nice shirt or something.
Yeah, yeah, like a nice shirt. And it, you know, it's, you know, I'm not saying like you should just, you know, take things from people that you're dating, but I don't think that it was the...
It was not a big deal to her.
Yeah, I don't think it was the big deal to her. Although that also I can see creating it, making it a big deal to him.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I'm walking around with 15 grand on my wrist.
Yes. When is he going to wear this? I mean, if he goes to school with it, everyone there is going to know where he got that.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going to know exactly what kind of watch that is. And
know
where it came from.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, it's more money than he's ever seen in his life just on his wrist at all times. Like that, I could.
You could definitely see it being like a collar.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though I don't think that's what Serena intended.
No, not at all. And I don't think that that's even how he would have taken it. I think for him it's much more of the angle of, I'm not comfortable with this expensive of a gift, which is valid. Although I will say that $50 is still a big limit. Like, with the fact that Serena is the one that sets the dollar amount still, I thought was kind of funny. And that it's like $50. $50 to a teenager today is still a chunk of change, you know? And so, like, I did think that was kind of funny.
But, I mean, yeah, if he's a junior in high school, that's an appropriate for a girlfriend Christmas gift, I would say.
Yeah. 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 I could see that. It's just, my point just being that the person who had the money is still the person setting the price range, that I thought that was an interesting take.
Yeah. Someone had to throw out the first offer.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Rufus shows up at the bar for Allison's meeting looking for a fight, but some cold hard facts finally shock Rufus into silence.
Alex handled this so well.
Yeah.
Like, this could have gone sideways, but he was like, hey, man, why don't you have a seat?
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, let's...
Sorry, buddy.
Like, hey, sorry, buddy. Like, I'm here to... Like, let's talk about this. And like, yeah. And it's funny, because, like, there's that element of, you know, if you see it in Alex's face. This guy punches me in the face, okay, I get it. Like this guy might punch me in the face at any moment, and I know why. But he's calm, and he's not aggressive, and he's empathetic. You know, he's like.
I will say this whole situation is probably the worst part of the writing of this episode, because of the whole plot contrivance of having to send a letter. Because if she wanted to be talked to him, she would be answering his calls. She has a cell phone.
Yeah.
Why is he sending a letter to the apartment?
Yeah. Why is
if not for plot contrivance?
Yeah. Yeah. And only so that everyone in the family can know about it.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, there it could have been Rufus found the text.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes. Yeah, so that's
you're right.
The
that
weak.
Was,
that was
like,
the
who
weakest.
Sends letters.
Yeah. Like the only way, like. Because, like, from Rufus' point of view, yeah, she's sending a letter because she's not answering his calls. Like, she doesn't want to talk to you, guy. Why are you sending a letter to my house now?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
At the ice rink, Blair is trying to sabotage Ramon.
And Ramon doesn't snitch.
No.
I mean, I really give Ramon a lot of credit for just standing up and being like, wow, I'm clumsy. You know?
Yeah. At the same time, in this scene, Blair is also getting another text from Chuck about how did you fake being a virgin.
Oh, yeah.
And this is also a topic on the forums, which I don't really get, because Nate is not that experienced that he would be able to tell.
Yeah. And yeah. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. What are we hanging sheets out of a window so that everybody can, so that everybody knows? Like, like, come on now.
And, you know, I mean, Blair is a, you know, a wealthy girl, so there's a good chance she had riding lessons at some point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or one of the, you know, myriad of other ways that, you know, the hide can be broken.
Yeah. Gymnastics.
Yeah. So that, yeah, that. Bit antiquated there, I would say.
Yeah.
Eleanor and Blair are riding the elevator and mourning that Ramon stole their husband and father, respectively. So, yes.
Yeah, and yeah, the scheming immediately from Blair.
Yeah, it ramps up here.
Yeah.
You can see those wheels turning.
Yeah, exactly.
Rufus comes back to the loft to confront Allison about Alex. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. They have that conversation, and, you know, the whole very honest, like, you know, we're sitting here putting this on outside people, and it's not these other people who are the problem. It's us. I thought, as far as on-screen breakups go, it was a well-written breakup. It was, you know, two people really realizing that this isn't where they want to be and ready to move on, or move backwards.
It wasn't really about, you know, Lily or Alex. It was just they had grown apart as people.
Yeah, and neither of them were really at a point in their heads that they necessarily wanted to put in the fight. You know, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And they weren't, you know, if you're not there, you're not there.
Yeah.
You know,
Jenny is helping Dan find Serena and make a joke gift and makes a joke about farting, I think. Something about cutting the cheese there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Jenny then mentions that Serena and Eric can't have a Christmas tree in the hotel. Dan gets an idea.
It's so crazy. It just might work. I love their chemistry. Yeah. I love Jenny and Dan. They come off as such great siblings, and they have such great chemistry whenever they do this shit.
Yeah, I agree. Blair asks Serena over to the penthouse to help her gain access to a model listing website.
What's $50 going to get you? 3/4 of a DVD box set?
Damn, an entree at a mid-priced restaurant. Although, I speaking of chemistry, the chemistry between Blair and Serena in the scene is very great.
Oh,
they're so cute together.
Yeah, it's such best friends. Yeah. And her wit is so fucking sharp, and they just play off of each other so well. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then we also have to see get another through line with the whole Blair Chuck thing where she leaves a voicemail begging for silence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then Serena shows up at the cafe and humbles herself in front of Vanessa and asks for her help.
Yeah.
I feel like Serena could have done something. She knows people. She could, like, get connections to authors and stuff. Someone to meet Dan or something. Someone famous or something.
Yeah. She could have gotten, but you know, she went to Vanessa and you know, kudos to Serena for being able to do that though too.
And it was Serena's idea, but it was Vanessa that kind of visualized how to achieve it.
Yeah, 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 and. But like, you know, you got to give credit to Serena for being able to ask for that help from someone that she knows is going to be doing it and she suspects, you know, she knows that Vanessa likes Dan.
Yeah.
She's just confident enough that she's not a competition.
Yeah.
Which is really one of the big things that I maybe kind of missed when watching it. But one of the big takeaways of this is Serena does not view Vanessa as a threat. I mean,
or at least she wants it to appear that she doesn't.
Yeah, but I feel like she was, because like she was kind of threatened in the beginning with that interaction with the story. But I feel like Serena is just a confident person altogether, and so I feel like that confidence kind of comes back around a lot.
Yeah, maybe. I kind of think she's a good actress.
That's also very true.
But I am looking at a different lens, and I know what's coming.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm not seeing any of that. Yeah.
All right. That is the end of Act 2. And we go into Act 3. At Eleanor's party, festivities abound when Lily gets a call from Rufus. Neither have the courage to reveal their obvious feelings for each other.
Yeah.
So everything's, party's going off. They get the call, and they both like are about to say something, but then they Lily makes up a lie that Rufus later catches.
Yeah.
She says she's with Bart.
She's leaving, that she's going
somewhere. With Bart. And then we go into the man who flirted with Eleanor earlier shows up at the party on Ramon's invitation. Before Harold ran off with Ramon, Eleanor and Ramon were good friends.
My note here is, then this rando just shows up. I knew Ramon, like, set it up, but it's still like, you just met her in the park to ask for directions, and now you're at her party. Like, you didn't think that was weird?
barbecues. He wasn't invited. Right?
But seriously, Ramon for the win.
Yeah.
Like Ramon.
He knows Eleanor.
This is when that really comes through.
Yeah.
And the whole rundown of this dude's fucking resume. You know, Ramon was like, oh, yeah, after we left, I looked into him. And here is why you definitely would like to go out with him more.
Yeah.
Like it was just, you know, he just really came through.
Oh, he's not just good looking. He also has money.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He also has money and also has access to the kind of things that you want.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. That really was cool with Ramon there. Like, I loved that. Mm-hmm. And you know, it goes a long way to forgive the person that stole your husband, you yeah. know?
But yeah, and the acting, Margaret Collins' acting this whole episode is very good. And
yeah.
Listening to, like, you know, friends don't steal other friends' husbands. That line was just, you felt her pain.
Yeah.
Felt her pain.
It cut.
Yeah.
It cut. And it's funny because when we were talking about Taylor's acting earlier, and when I said, like, she holds her own against these seasoned mm-hmm. vets, like, she's the first one to come to mind. Her mm-hmm. and Lily are the ones that really come to mind for me.
And Blair is calling for Nate, but can't seem to find him. He's supposed to be in Connecticut or somewhere at the grandfather's house.
At the chateau.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's at the chateau in New England somewhere.
Yeah. But not there. Can't track him down.
Yes. Yeah.
Where could he be?
I don't know. I hope he's not. I hope he's, I mean, probably just on his way to Blair,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What she said.
Right? Yeah, sure.
That's probably where he's going.
Mm-hmm. Serena, Eric, and Vanessa are in Blair's room working on Dan's gift.
I love Blair in this scene. When they're all just sitting there and you just see her turn and zero in on Vanessa.
Well, you saw the look on Vanessa's face when she's saying, "Oh, Dan is gonna love this."
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But the silliest excuse. I need to go find some scissors in my own house. Come help me where you've never been. So come help me find them.
Come help me find them. It was, but like just the way, like her and like. Like I'm not the one, you know, just the way that she just drops everything. Mm-hmm. Fucking amazing. Yeah. I love her.
Blair pulls Vanessa to the side and confronts her about her feelings for Dan in the bathroom there. And then Vanessa and Blair leave and Lily comes up and tells her kids that she is dating Bart Bass. He has one expression and it scares me.
He has one expression.
He raised Chuck and that scares me.
Yeah. It's so good. So good. I loved it. I loved both of their reactions. Yeah. Like, yeah. And you know, I'll meet him at the wedding. It was Serena's first response.
She just figures some boring businessman or something.
Yeah, that I love that scene, but yeah, he raised Chuck Bass and that scares me.
Oh boy. Dan and Jenny are carrying a tree down the street discussing the dissolution of their parents' marriage. Another good scene with Dan and Jenny.
Yeah. Real good, like, big brother, little sister moment, mm-hmm. you know? And I love how honestly they talk to each other, how lovingly they have this conversation and recognizing that their family is about to be different.
Yeah.
Really good.
Back at the party, Blair's plans appear to work, but is quickly found out by Eleanor. She recognizes the scheme right away.
Yeah, when the ex comes in.
Yeah, the other model.
Yeah, and immediately
and then blackmails him, and then screws him over anyways.
Yeah, just plays the guy all the way through, and great job.
We see where Blair learns from it, and you know, she points it out later in the episode.
Yeah, Blair gets her scheming from me, but she gets her dreaming from you.
And Harold and Eleanor talk about Blair needing her father.
That was
a good scene there
too. Because Eleanor is often very, you know, cold and firm and authoritative towards Blair, that she recognizes that there is this thing that Blair really is missing that she really needs.
Yeah.
And like that she, especially the whole, like, she's not lashing out at Ramon. She's lashing out at you.
Dan and Jenny are trying to think of a way to sneak the tree into the hotel when Lily shows up with a plan.
Yeah, I loved that Lily came by and, you know, no, you're not going to sneak it in the front. Let me go call the guy around back. I can pay off, you know, and once again, really like coming through for Jenny and Dan.
Yeah.
You know, and really like supportive of
all the kids that aren't her own.
Yep. Yep. All the kids that aren't hers. She's great, too.
At the gallery, Serena and Vanessa are putting the finishing touches on Dan's gift, and Vanessa leaves wanting to give Serena all the credit. Or does she?
I thought it was interesting that Serena's gift was at the gallery. Just like,
well, I think that was the only place they could set it up with the projector and stuff.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting, like, how to, like, I would find it weird to lose my virginity surrounded by my mother's art.
Well, I don't think that was necessarily the plan. I think that just kind of happened.
Yeah. Well, there was a bed there.
Well, speaking of that, Serena was trying to get Vanessa to stay. What was her plan there? There was only a bed in the middle of the room. It wasn't a big bed either. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Wow. Yeah, that didn't really occur to me.
Well, I'm a perv, so I think of those kind of things.
Yeah. My counter to that will be that the whole like, oh yeah, stay. No, this is your thing. I don't think that Serena necessarily really wanted her to stay, but either that or if he hates it, I can blame you.
Yes. Harold comes to say goodbye.
Maybe she wanted the three-way. Yeah. There, we said it.
Harold comes to say goodbye to a despondent Blair. However, in the end, Harold doesn't really care about his daughter and invites her to spend the summer with him and Ramon in France.
Yeah, her Christmas present was a room in his new villa in France, which, and she loved it.
Yeah.
And it'll be, you know, and she'll still have her dad time. As somebody who spent most of their time with the kids in the summer, I get that, you know.
And I kind of thought the sign of the times there, they called it a commitment ceremony.
I actually have that as a note that she says, what's next, a commitment ceremony?
Yeah.
And I had quickly did the math and like realized like, oh yeah, like the Supreme Court only ruled that in like 2013 or 2014. Yeah. Like, so yeah, like it was not legal nationwide to have same-sex marriages.
I'm not sure what the laws were in France at the time, but
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was already legal there, but
maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
But also maybe not.
Yeah.
I think that France can be kind of religious as well. Like
they can be, but like not with the laws.
Yeah. I don't know much about France.
And then like the song that starts playing in this scene and carries over to the next scene is Band Enforces, the General Specific. I'm a big fan of them.
Which band is it?
The Band of Horses.
Oh, I actually don't know them that well.
They're an indie band. It's actually surprising. They're very cutting edge to be in a show on 2007. So,
oh, cool.
Josh Schwartz bringing out his indie collection.
Yeah.
And yes, Dan arrives to find his gift: Sex in the Snow.
I mean, and yeah, it was, you know, good scene, and it's time, you know, good on them.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
Yep.
Now, make sure you tell Vanessa about it when you're getting coffee tomorrow.
Yeah. In great detail.
Yeah, in great detail.
That is, also, okay, so we go into the epilogue here, and Dan and Serena wake up in a bed of confetti. This is Christmas Day, so December 25th. I looked up when sunrise was, and sunrise is 7:32. But you could tell it was pretty, the sun was pretty high in the sky. Like, you could see it through the skylight already.
Right, right. Yeah.
So that had to be at least 10, 11 o'clock. And they're not expecting people not to be awake on Christmas morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
But whatever. Apparently, Eleanor also got laid last night. Her new friend Jack is sneaky out when Harold and Ramon walk in. Blair arrives and now loves Ramon.
Yeah. It doesn't take much to flip Blair's switch.
Yeah.
It just takes stuff.
Yeah.
It just takes some kind of advantage, money, yeah, or power.
Yes.
And then she'll like you a lot.
Serena arrives back at the hotel to find the tree. Yeah, so she gets her gift.
Yeah, she gets her gift back at the house, yeah, which Dan isn't there to see or to. It was, yeah, but she loved it. Yeah. She loved it.
And then Dan gets back to the loft and has the biggest grin ever. His spirits are quickly dampened when Rufus says he needs to go take care of some business.
Oh.
On Christmas?
Yeah, it's fucking Christmas. Like,
art never rests.
Can't you all just be here to, like, tell us about this shit?
Yeah. And then everyone is happy and festive at the Waldorf penthouse. So, yeah, all is well as ends well. Blair now has two dads.
It was sweet. It was sweet that she gave Dorota a phone.
Yes.
To keep in touch with, yeah, her, so that they can text each other.
Yes, Dorota's becoming more of a character.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, I like that.
Allison tells her kids that she is going back to Hudson.
Yeah.
Yay!
Woohoo!
And then the Vanderwoodsons plus Bart are exchanging gifts, and Bart proposes to Lily.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, he's all in.
Well, this is where I teased earlier, where I said he is taking an effort. He gives Eric a Marlins jersey.
Yeah, I actually loved that. I like,
which means he was paying attention to what Eric said to him.
Yeah, I know how much you like Florida, you know, and
but it's also good writing in the sense it shows that Lily is not letting him in because she, yeah, didn't tell him what really happened.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I didn't. That didn't even occur to me until you just said it right now, because, you know, he specifically, not only does he say, "I know how much you like Florida," but in that exchange, when he says, "How was Florida?" he said, "Go Marlins."
Yeah, exactly.
But I did actually appreciate where that was coming.
Yeah, he's making
from
an effort
for Bart. Yeah.
Yeah, he's making an effort.
Yeah, I had a guy that my mom dated one time. There was a Christmas that he gave everyone, he bought gifts for everybody. And he was a guy that apparently had some money, but like, he bought me a Tommy Hilfiger sweatshirt that I was never going to wear. Like, this guy just threw expensive sweatshirts at my siblings and me. And like, none of us would have worn them. Maybe my sister would have worn whatever she got.
I totally would have worn a Tommy Hilfiger sweatshirt.
Well, but honestly, like, that was not my thing, yeah, back then. Like I was so anti, like, wearing any kind of brand stuff like that unless it was a band that I was into. You know, I was just way too pre-hipster, yeah, to wear.
I was completely opposite. I was such a lemming in high school. And it's yeah, so that we got the jersey. And then this is happening right when Rufus is leaving Lily a voicemail that Allison is leaving again.
Yeah.
He walked all the way from Brooklyn to Manhattan in the snow without a jacket.
To call her. to call.
Yeah.
Like, just go upstairs at that point. You're not going to, it's going to suck. It's going to suck. Yeah. But at that point, just go upstairs.
Yeah. And the episode closes with Blair getting the reveal that Chuck and Nate are together in Monaco.
Yep. And yeah, Nate did not come to visit Blair, apparently.
Yeah. You finally sleep with the girl and then you disappear. Not good, Nate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any predictions for the next episode?
I mean, I'm definitely predicting Blair trying to scheme her way in between Nate and Chuck. Or unless Nate knows, I cannot see Chuck showing his hand.
Yeah, because that would incriminate him as well.
Yeah. I can't see him doing anything like that.
Yeah, because but it would make him look just as bad as Blair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alright, so we'll go ahead and get into some segments. This Week in Fandom. Dan did not get... He was getting shit on this week. He's an ungrateful jerk for not accepting the watch.
I mean, Penn
Badgley's bad actor. Dan's story is kind of creepy. That he wrote about Serena.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't actually talk about how the story... I actually wrote it down that the story is the date. The title is the date.
Yeah.
And it's the date that he saw her and never talked to her. And spoke two sentences.
Yeah, she spoke
two sentences to him.
Yeah. So, and as also this week, does Chuck celebrate the holidays? First Thanksgiving and now Christmas. He's absent.
Yeah, and on Christmas his dad's here.
Yeah.
Although, and I mean, it hasn't, nothing has been said about Chuck's mom at this point. So there is, at least to a new viewer like me, the possibility that he's visiting his mom or mom's side of the family.
Yeah. And then what else?
Yeah.
Nate going back to his bad boyfriend ways, finally has sex with Blair. As I mentioned, and then leaves town without even a voicemail. Everyone seemed to like Blair's smackdown on Vanessa in the bathroom.
Fantastic. Yeah. It was yeah. Everyone should.
Yes. It was very good. people seem surprised to really like the Lily Rufus storyline because the parents usually have boring storylines on these shows.
and I love that storyline.
Yeah, this is probably the best storyline going on right now.
Yeah, and I actually was buckled up expecting Allison for at least the season. Like, I didn't think this was that she would be out of the picture this soon. Unless she's not, but I didn't think that this breakup would happen this soon.
She is never seen on screen again.
When?
She's referenced throughout the series, you know.
Going to mom's house.
Typically, like, in the off season, that's where, you know, it's mentioned that, you know, Dan and Jenny are visiting Hudson.
Visiting Hudson. and no disrespect to the actor who played Allison. I think it's kind of the Jenny situation where you were given a shit part to play.
You mean Vanessa?
Vanessa, yeah. But it's the same sort of thing. You're given a shit role to play, and she did her best with it.
Mm-hmm. And then also the Serena and Blair chemistry, great. Everyone liked that.
Yeah.
Serena's outfit for the... people were complaining about Serena's outfit for the family gift exchange. It was a little exposed, they thought.
Yeah, I get. What was it?
She was wearing like lingerie with an open robe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. At the end, yeah.
So So a little odd, but you know, that's just Serena. She's confident.
Yeah, and she's just kind of hanging out with her family and like.
But Bart is there.
Yeah, that's weird. That's uncomfortable. Yeah,
but again, I think it plays with Serena's character.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And what else we got? Yeah, so we got Penn Badger's acting, and then Team Brooklyn all around except for Rufus was basically taking shots. They didn't like Jenny in this episode either. The writer's strike has already affected other shows. So as we're gonna get into more going on, so other shows at this point have shut down on TV. And Gossip Girl is one of the few that are still putting out new episodes at this point.
Oh, okay.
That was mentioned. And then Dan and Serena are doomed. Are Nate and Serena coming out next?
People are saying that Dan and Serena are doomed?
Yeah, because of the different worlds thing. Oh. They just see that as, you know, it's going to be, that's going to come up over and over, they think.
Yeah, I mean,
The whole thing with the gifts.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it will. I hope it doesn't, but, like, I get that. I mean, they are in different worlds, but I think that's also part of, like, what this is about, you know?
Mm-hmm. So this is episode 11, so you go first for grades this week.
My grade was an A for the episode, an A- for the episode overall. You know, Chuck and Nate not being in it typically gets a little bit of a dip from me, and you know, even though I feel like their absence was handled better. Mm. Overall, I love the episode. A-.
I went a little lower. I actually gave it a B-. I actually kind of agreed. Normally, I like Penn and Badgley's acting, but I agreed it was bad, especially in the scene. It was especially bad in the scene where he got Vanessa's gift, where he was reacting to finding out about it. It was pretty bad.
He has the same reaction face all the time. He has that, like, all the time. It's always the same reaction.
That excited face. Reaction. Yeah. The storyline with him and Jenny was okay. Like, the first part was good, but then it kind of dragged on. They didn't need the second scene of them dragging the tree. And then the whole, yeah, so it was a good episode overall, but yeah, still not an A episode.
That's fair.
What about for Stockwatch? Who do you got going up?
Dan went up.
Something's going up.
Something went up. So yeah, Dan and Serena are both going up. Lily, well, she didn't really go up. She just kind of is in a decent position right now.
You said Serena too, right?
I said Dan and Serena. I'm feeling like, you know, I hate to say it, but I feel like Vanessa's stock went up. I shit on her this whole episode, but she really did kind of come through and like, but I really think Dan, Serena, and Vanessa are the only ones I have going up. Cause going down, Rufus with the phone call to Lily and just like, you know, immediately after Allison and him break mm-hmm. up, calling Lily right away and like, you know,
you're moving on to down already?
Yeah. Oh, oh. My bad. Go ahead.
So yeah. So I had going up. I had Dan and Serena. I also had Chuck going up because he got under. He got under Blair's skin the whole episode.
That is true.
But I also had Blair going up because she started out the episode with no dads and ended up with two dads. And I gave Eleanor up because she got her friend back and she also got laid. And yeah. And also Harold and Ramon, because, you know, they seem like a happy couple and they got a chateau in France. So good for them.
You know what? I actually want to add Eleanor to mine too, because you're right. She got her friend back. She got closure. She got some really good closure and she got laid. Like, that's a lot in one episode.
Yeah. All right. So now you can go the down.
Yeah. Down, I had Rufus and Allison, obviously. They, you know, splitting up, and also Rufus for the The phone call to Lily immediately after breaking up was just a little desperate. And then I actually had Blair going down because her scheming backfired and was, you know, the way that Eleanor outplayed her in that. And she was, aside from the flawless Vanessa scene, Blair was on the ropes with Chuck the whole time. It just wasn't fair. Blair didn't have the normal power she does. So I had Blair going down in this one.
Yeah, I mainly gave her going up because she was happy at the end of the episode.
Yeah, that's fair.
For me going down, I had Nate because he was a douchebag boyfriend.
That's fair.
Rufus because he's gonna lose his wife finally, and then Allison also for
sucking.
Yeah, sucking, and Alex for being a douchebag.
Oh wow! Okay, yeah.
And sending a letter.
Yeah, for sending a letter. Yeah, that's fair. See, I'll even declare Alex for me as officially breaking even because despite sending a douchey letter, he was cool at the bar.
Yeah, he was cool at the bar.
He came through at the bar. But no,
and Rufus is where he's actually a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, he's actually a pretty cool guy. I love that.
Who do you have for best outfit?
Serena, the sequins dress, that like purplish sequins. I don't know.
Yeah, she wears those sequins a lot, and I'm not a big fan of those kind of dresses, really. But
I'm not usually. This one kind of caught my eye, like just something, maybe the color or something.
Yeah. For me, like the whole episode, all their outfits, Ramon and Harold were killing it.
Yeah.
But the one I ended up giving it to was Ramon's outfit from the park with the leather jacket, the black pants, and the gray turtleneck.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got to expect, because, like, he's a fashion guy.
Yeah.
You know, like,
he's a model.
He's a model, and he's going to look. Is he a model? I thought he was, like, an assistant.
Yeah, he's a male model.
Oh, okay. Because I thought he was Eleanor's assistant. Or was I wrong about that?
No.
Oh, okay.
He was a model that worked. She just said, I work with this one.
Oh, okay.
And you have any plugs?
I do. I actually have a couple gigs coming up. May 10th at Fat Lady Brewing in Manayunk. And then July 19th, I will be playing the Hypes Love Fest, also at Fat Lady Brewing in Manayunk. So come on out.
All right. Make sure you check that out. So I guess the new thing that I've been watching, I started watching, it's kind of late on the bandwagon, but I started watching Star Trek Strange New Worlds. So,
oh, how is that?
It's good.
I've only ever watched random episodes of every Star Trek. You know, I haven't watched the whole series.
Yeah, like I watched all of Next Generation as it was coming out as a kid, and then I watched all of Deep Space Nine as it was coming out, and then most of Voyager, but then I kind of dropped off after that.
Yeah, I was never a huge Star Trek fan, and then at one point I ended up buying the box set DVDs for the original 1960s
series,
the two seasons of that, and I didn't even finish watching all of it. I think I watched most of the first season, but like I appreciate
to me the Next Generation and Deep Space Nine are the best.
That's what I and so I've always meant to go back and watch Next Generation, because I think, because younger me did not have the capacity to like get into it, you know. It wasn't there weren't enough lightsabers, you know, and
see, yes, because Star Trek is actual science fiction,
right? Yes. Which I wasn't ready for when I was when I was a teenager. I needed lightsabers and
fantasy
force magic. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So if you want to follow us on social media, I mentioned it at the beginning, but I'll mention it again. TikTok and Instagram at Non-Judging Breakfast Pod, and on the social media formerly known as Twitter at NJB Pod. We have a Facebook community group. Just search for Non-Judging Breakfast Pod and take your seat at the breakfast table with us.
And please send us an email, nonjudgingbreakfastpod@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. Also, please leave reviews, comment on our on Spotify and iHeart and Amazon and iTunes or Apple Pods. What is the Apple thing?
Apple.
Yeah. Leave us a comment. Leave us a review. That really helps for our visibility and gets other people to listen to the show.
Yeah, and share with a friend. Next episode, we'll be discussing in 2 weeks, Season 1, Episode 12, School Lies. The Max episode preview reads, the gang breaks into the school swimming pool for an impromptu night of fun.
Okay.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, sounds like fun.
Well, until next time, you know you love us. XOXO.